Morning, everybody.
Morning.
It's slightly warmer today. Still cold, but not as cold as yesterday. We'd just like to welcome everybody to this morning's service. In particular, we give a very warm welcome to our town mayor, David Smith, and his wife, who's come along to join us in our toy service today. And also like to welcome any visitors that's joining us today. Please feel free to come and join us after the service for tea and coffee. Just follow the crowd, it's just up on the right. Just a few notices before we start. I need to stop saying don't I? It's a habit. So Haverhill Singers are putting on a concert here in the church on Saturday the 9th of December, which is next Saturday. Please see Connect for further details. There's a poster on there. As I said before, today is our toy service, and we'd like to welcome Andy as well, Reverend Andy Burrows and his wife that have come the whole way from Norwich to be with us today. And Andy and David will receive the gifts later, and they will go to our local social services. It's really great that we can help people who are worse off than us, and these toys stay in our town area, which is really great. And then Jacqueline would like to give a notice.
Thank you, Claire. Good morning, everybody. Yesterday, our church was as full as it is now because we had the walk-in nativity. And what a day we had. It was freezing cold, but it was really absolutely lovely. And we'd like to go through the list to personally thank all the people who made this possible. So we had Derek and his band of singers, Claire and Jackie. And we had the Salvation Army brass instrumentalist. And we had the actors from the River of Life. And we had the realms of angels and archangels. And then we had the pony. And we had the stewards who helped in the church here. And also the stewards who helped on the way to make sure that everybody was safe. And we finished off at St. Mary's. And it just is wonderful to show what our church in particular, and I have to say this because she did a wonderful job of pulling all this together, and that was Sham. And before we give her a round and everybody else a round of applause, I would just like to say that here in Haverhill, we have a wonderful community spirit. People are helping each other wherever they can, whether it's in the hospices or the churches together, all the work that's done to make people's lives a lot happier than perhaps they may feel, especially at this time of the year. And you can walk down the high street and you'll see somebody, and I'll bet you won't get to the end without somebody looks and smiles and says hello. And I think that is just so wonderful. We are so lucky in Haverhill. And now could we please thank Sham and all her lovely band for all the work that she did. Thank you. Thank you, Claire.
And now Kathy would like to give them a notice.
I've got two notices. You will see, both at the front of the church and up in the coffee area, these little cards. They have all our services for Christmas on the back, and they have a prayer for you this Christmas. We pray that you'll find some hope in the story this year, some light in the winter season, like shepherds who gazed on a dark sky and saw angels, some energy for the next step, like weary kings who kept following their deep beliefs, some joy in the unexpected, like the young mother who held her newborn close in a stable. We've got 280 of these. That's enough for you to have a few each. And the idea is that you give them to your friends. You put them through the next door, you know, a few doors down the road. I shall put them down the hole of my clothes. And it might bring a few people to come and hear the real story of Christmas in the middle of all their hustle and bustle. So that's those. The big Christmas card. It's not as big as it used to be. I haven't got an A3 printer anymore. The idea is you sign this and you don't send 40,000 Christmas cards to everybody in church. By doing that, you save a little bit of money, and the little bit of money that you save, or some of it, goes into this basket. And this year's charity we're supporting is called the Methodist Church Fund for Human Needs. And I found I'd got a letter from somebody at district about it, and it says, the fund exists to help destitute and desperate people throughout the UK. It provides relatively small amounts to people who have no access to benefits or support, giving priority to the vulnerable. So it's not giving thousands and thousands of pounds away, but it is making a very big difference to those people who've got nothing. So that's our charity for this year. And I'm going to put this up in the hall as well afterwards, and then for future weeks it will be out the front and you can sign it as you come in. But I don't want to miss anybody. Thanks.
Here I go again. Sorry. I will now hand you over to Andy to lead our service.
Thank you, Claire. Good morning. It's good to be with you. Special occasion, isn't it? It's nice to see one or two Christmas jumpers beginning to emerge. You know, maybe the rest of you will get a little bit more festive as Advent progresses. I don't know whether you possess a Christmas jumper. Sadly, I don't. This tie is about as festive as I get at the moment. I still hope that somebody might find a tasteful Christmas jumper that I can wear. But I don't tend to go for Christmas jumpers. But maybe next year. Looking at my wife. No, she's shaking her head. No, maybe not. She calls me the Grinch at home, so it's something to do with that. Anyway, it's lovely to be with you on this really special occasion. Toy services are special, not just because they're at this time of year, but because they remind us of the small ways, but the really important ways in which we can affect other people's lives in a positive way. And by donating the gifts that we do this morning, we know that they will be going to appreciative people and whose Christmas will be made, as Claire said, a little brighter through your giving. So thank you in advance. And as the band lead us in a little while in worship, then the invitation is given for you to bring whatever you brought and for Mr. Mayor to receive the presents as well as myself. And we hope that we'll get a really good coverage of this table, and that we'll be able to pray over them and pray that the Lord will bless the receivers of these gifts and bring some joy into their lives too. We're going to begin with the Advent candle liturgy, and then the band are going to lead us in worship.
As we light the first Advent candle, we thank you, God, for the hope of you give. As we prepare for Christmas time, light of the world, shine on us.
In this world of pain and darkness, bring hope to our hearts, to all the people who don't know you. Light of the world, shine through us.
Jesus, you are coming again. Help us to live in the hope you bring. In our service here today, light of the world, light the way.
Let's pray together, shall we? Gracious God, we give you thanks for all of your gifts to us. We're so mindful of what we have, particularly at this time of year. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for our friends and our family. We thank you for all the resources that we have. And we thank you that you have moved us, enabled us, called us to make this display of our thankfulness to you by giving to others. Thank you for all of the gifts. We thank you for those who have given. And we pray, Father God, especially for all of those who will receive these gifts. May their lives be brightened and introduced to the joy of knowing you, Lord Jesus. And we ask, Father God, that though perhaps words are not spoken, may they somehow sense that these gifts are given through the love that you have shown to us and have brought forth in our lives to enable us to share with others. And so we pray for the gifts themselves, we pray for the givers, and we pray for those who will benefit from them. Please bless them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. Thank you.
Oh, apparently I've got to say a few words. So thank you, everybody, for inviting us here today. It's this not the first time we've been here to a toy service. 2 years ago, when my wife, Liz, was the mayor, we came along and we were blown away by the generosity of you, your members of your church here. In this season, when we're looking forward to the coming of the greatest gift we were given, you know, it's wonderful to see this manifestation of the generosity of your community to the people that probably have got little less than you, you know. In this day, we all know the acute effect of the cost of living crisis having on lost people. And the fact that you can give something to people that have got less than you is wonderful. So on behalf of the people of Haverhill, thank you very much and God bless you all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Would help if I had the right piece of paper, wouldn't I? What's next? Well, you I will know, I'm sure, by now that Reverend Ken Nichols has orchestrated a passada for this year, and I've got the pleasure of handing this over to Ron and Linda, who are starting it off this year. But I guess you know where the passada started. I knew a little bit about it, but Ken's very kindly given me a bit more background. We think it originated in Mexico. And the reason that we do this is to reflect, I think, in our own actions, our accommodating of the presence of the Holy Family, seeking shelter and respite, and we are affording that by symbolically taking the Holy Family into our homes for one night. And of course it's passed on then through all the way through to Christmas, when happily Ken will be leading the Christmas morning service and we'll be able to receive it all back. And so this is the Posada service, the set. I think they're kind of one-dimensional characters, so it will present a nice sort of panoramic picture of the Holy Family when you set it up in your homes. And so I'd like to invite Ron and Linda to come forward and to receive the first day. So of course this is symbolic of receiving Jesus Christ into our hearts and offering hospitality. So Linda, Ron, thank you so much for taking this into your home. And we'll just want to say a prayer to set it on the Holy Family on their way. We'll pray God's blessing upon your house too this Christmas. Lord God, we give you thanks for, as we've already heard, the greatest gift that could be given to mankind that we have received in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And as we symbolically send round the Holy Family amongst our church community here, we pray that you will bless every home into which our Lord Jesus and the Holy Family enter. Please bless those who receive, those who give shelter, those who will this Christmas particularly be in need of respite and shelter. We ask all of those things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. 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 Bless you. Thank you. Now we have a bit of a treat this morning. We've got a little drama to present to you. I think we have a slide that will tell you a little bit what it's about, but you've got to imagine a setting in a toy company. This is a company called, is it coming? There it is. A company called Troy's Toys. Ever heard of them? No, I'm not surprised they don't exist. But anyway, for the sake of this morning, they exist, okay? So just imagine, here is the office of Troy's Toys.
at the desk. Right. The cleaners have moved it. Horace.
Good morning.
Do come in.
Good morning, Mr. Troy.
Carrying boxes?
I am.
Well, what have you brought to show me today?
Well, Mr. Troy, as you know, my department has been really working very hard on a new product for Christmas, which we hope will bring make Troy's Toys a household name. In past years, we've had Barbies, Furbies, Action Man, Pokemon, and we've come up with a couple of ideas which we think you're going to really like.
All right. Show me.
So, board games are making a comeback. So we've invented one we've called Politrix. The idea is that each player is a politician trying to become Prime Minister. They're all dealt a kind of hand of trick cards, which are things like empty rhetorical speech, outlandish promises, avoid giving straight answers, a winning smile, and so on. Each player has to use these cards to win over the general public and other politicians and become Prime Minister.
And the player who manages that has won?
Well, no. He or she has to accumulate enough deny any knowledge cards to survive the integrity challenge.
And then they have won?
No. Then they must destroy all their rivals by playing a leak to the press card, where character smears are published by unscrupulous journalists.
And then they win?
Well, yes, in a manner of speaking.
Hmm. What do you mean?
Well, we tried it out last week, and Dennis in Dispatch won, but nobody's spoken to him since.
Oh, well, let's move on. What's next?
Well, sir, this item is truly remarkable. With all the recent advances in technology, we've been able to invent the perfect must-have toy. It can sing, dance, it can turn somersaults, and all at the same time. It speaks 14 different languages, and it can answer questions on any subject, since its computer chip has a vast database of 100,000 mega-gigabytes.
Amazing.
But that's not all it can do. It can play every instrument known to man, intelligently debate any contentious issue and win, can single-handedly run the economy of a small country. There are male and female versions. We call them Perry Perfect and Katie Cool.
Incredible. How do they work?
On AA batteries.
How many?
512.
That's a bit of a problem then.
But there's a bigger one.
What's that?
Well, they're currently planning to take over the world.
Next.
I'm sorry, sir, that's it.
But what about that third box that I saw?
Well, they're my sandwiches.
Oh,
do you mean this box? Well, yes. This is just a pretty ordinary robot. It's still in the development stage.
What does it do?
Well, not much at the moment. We haven't programmed it yet. We could put a flashing casing on the outside or give it a few flashing lights and jazzy sound.
No. People have had enough of flashy high-tech gadgets. I think now they want something that can give them what they really need. Something more personal. Could you design it to be, well, less an entertainer and more like, I know it sounds strange, more like a friend? We could make it say life-affirming things. Just imagine if we could make it a toy that could actually make people's lives happier. In a real, deep and lasting way, not just superficially. Now, that would be something special.
Well, it's a great concept, Mr. Troy, but I'm not sure any toy could ever do that.
Hmm. Yes, I suppose you're right. A mere toy, however sophisticated, couldn't do that, I suppose. It's just my great ambition, my holy grail. But look out of that window. Horace, life is happening on that on that busy street there, life is going on. How many of those people are looking for companionship, purpose, value, love? Where do they find that?
Thank you. Well, thank you to our actors. I mean, of course, the point behind all of that, on this special day when we are giving toys, we know that the toys aren't the ultimate gift. As our mayor has already reminded us, the greatest gift is the one who lies behind it. And we know that people are looking for something more substantial than something just to entertain them for a little while. Every year there are different toys and adult toys. You know, phones might be classed as adult toys. They can entertain us for a while, but they don't meet our needs, do they? Because deep down we want affirmation. We want to know that we're loved. We want to know that we're valued. And what toy can give that? No gadget can give that. But we know that there is one who can give that and give it abundantly and without discrimination. And the wonderful thing about, of course, knowing Jesus is when we base our lives on Jesus, then we just sense those things. However unworthy we think we are, however much we don't think we deserve those things, we know that in Jesus we are loved and loved eternally. And if, just imagine if there was something that could communicate that to people. These things are wonderful, and we know that they will bless people. But ultimately, what people want is to understand and get a sense of the love with which these are given. And that's what we've prayed for, that there'll be a sense of understanding how much God loves and values those who will receive it. So thank you to our actors. That was pretty good. I was saying to Claire, that was only the second time that's ever been performed. The first time wasn't so good as that. So thank you very much indeed. That was wonderful. We're going to sing together. Of course, it's Advent, so we have to remember that. And we're going to sing Joy to the World. And again, it seems appropriate today when we want these gifts to give joy and bring joy into people's lives. We remember that the coming of Christ was the ultimate delivery of joy into the world. So if you're able, would you like to stand? We sing together. Please take your seats. We're going to join together in some prayers of intercession.
Please join and hear our prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we pray for people in our town who are suffering at this time. We pray for safety, shelter, warmth, food and drink. We pray for Reach, the food bank, social services and others in our town who work to support children and families in need. We pray that they would continue to spread joy and love to all they meet. Lord of love, hear our prayer. We pray for those in the world who are suffering because of wars and injustice, especially in Israel, Gaza, and the Ukraine. May your peace and love prevail. Bring comfort to those who are suffering. Lord of peace, hear our prayer. We pray for those for whom Christmas is a difficult time. We pray for those who miss loved ones or who are struggling with health this year. We pray that they would feel hope for the year ahead. Lord of hope, hear our prayer. Please join in as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sam, so much. Now I'm going to ask the question, do you believe? And it's one of those questions that at Christmas, and it's usually referring to Santa Claus, isn't it? You know, do you believe in Santa Claus? But let's just think, do we believe generally? How believing are we when we're told things? First of all, can I have the first slide up, please? Do you believe that the moon has rocks on it? Do you believe the moon has rocks on it? Okay, yeah. Do you believe that it has an orbit of just under a quarter of a million miles? And it kind of... quarter of a million miles. Do you believe that figure? A little less certainty there. You might have seen a moon rock, but you've never measured it, have you? So how do you know? Yeah. Well, would you believe that if you read it? Yeah, well, pretty much, I guess we would. Yep. Do you believe that a man landed on the moon? Yeah, well, there's the rocks. That's the distance. There's the... I don't think that was actually one of the people that landed on the moon, but... So you believe that... Why do we believe that a man landed on the moon? Why do we believe that? Anybody under 16 want to give me an answer? Or 18 or something? Well, I guess... Everybody's shy this morning, aren't they? I guess we believe it because either we've seen a picture of it, but hang on, what about deep fakes? Pictures can be faked, can't they? And we read about it in books. Are books always factual? I wonder. Why do we know that a man landed on the moon? I can't hear, but I'm guessing you're saying everything which is right. But we read about it. We trust, don't we? We believe that what we read is factually accurate. Otherwise, somebody would have challenged it and maybe withdrawn the book from publication. So we believe. Now, children, do you believe that you have a heart? You do? Okay. Why do you think you have a heart? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? Well, you know, do we believe that we have a heart? Why? Why do we think we have a heart? Because we're alive. Okay. We believe we have a heart because, and the heart is keeping us alive, presumably. Okay. But you've never seen your heart, have you?
We can feel it.
You can feel it. Ah, that's really interesting, isn't it? So we can feel the effect of it, but we assume it's there, really, because medical books tell us, science teachers tell us, and everybody accepts that we've got a heart. So we believe it, don't we? Now, what about when you see a present under the Christmas tree? You see a shape, don't you, that's wrapped up, and you assume it's a present. Have you ever been disappointed when you've unwrapped it and just found an empty box? Have you been disappointed? I'm sorry to hear that. But normally, it's not just a box, is it? There's something in it normally, isn't there? But you never know. This Christmas, there might just be... No, there won't be an empty box. Of course there won't be an empty box. But why we believe that when we see presents under the Christmas tree, they've actually got something in them, is because our experience tells us we've never been disappointed. When people who care about us give us a present, we unwrap it, and there's always something in it, you know, like a woolly hat or a knitted jumper or something really exciting about like that. A pair of socks. You know, gentlemen, when you get to a certain age, the pair of socks, the smellies and that kind of thing. But I don't know what you're expecting or hoping for Christmas, but whatever it says on the wrap, if it's to you, this is for you, isn't it? Somebody's thought of you. I thought you'd like it. And so we're never disappointed. We always find that there's something in the parcel, don't we? So actually we find that we believe a lot of things even though we can't see them at that particular point. And we believe them because of experience, because people have told us, or because we think it's just common accepted knowledge. So we believe that there are rocks on the moon even though we've never been to the moon to see them. We believe that we have a heart because it's doing the rather good job of keeping us alive, as has been said. although we've never actually seen our heart. And we believe that there are nice things inside wrapped presents, although until we open them on Christmas Day, we can't really be sure about that. Now, we talk a lot about God in church, don't we? But we can't see him. So how do we know that he exists? And isn't that the journey that actually a lot of us go through? We have to find faith for ourselves. It's no good somebody else telling us, well, there is a God, I'm telling you there is. That doesn't work, does it? We have to make our own mind up, and we have to find our own way to faith and the reality of Jesus Christ in our lives. We have to find our own path through that. So it's no good actually somebody telling us. It's no good even if a book tells us, like a fact. If a book tells people, the Bible's been telling people for years, a long time, that Jesus is real, that God is real. And yet there are so many people still that don't believe it. They'll think, don't believe that. But they'll pick up a science book, and actually, I have to say, sometimes people will pick up a book about Star Wars and somehow believe. And Star Trek, you know? Did you know you can do a degree in Klingon? Did you know that?
No.
You probably don't know what Klingon is, even. Star Trek's a bit passe, isn't it? But you can do a degree these days. Really useful, I should think. I can't think how. But, you know, people will believe things if they want to believe them, whether or not the book says that they're true or not. But the Bible's been telling people for years that Jesus is real. God is real. God has a real impact in people's lives here and now, still. You know, 2,000 years after Jesus was born and crucified and rose again. And so we look at books. But, you know, the most important thing, the reason that we're most helped to find out these things for ourselves is that when somebody we know and love and trust tells us. Isn't that right? You hear somebody saying, do you know, I really needed this, and I prayed, and God answered my prayer. God has blessed me in this way. And the more that we put these little bits of the puzzle together, the more we understand that he's real, that God is real. He's active in the world. He's active in this church. And we've already reflected, you know, God is active, not just in what we give, but in the spirit of giving, in the spirit of being church family, in the spirit of worship. In fact, this morning, just before in the vestry, before we came in, Claire said a lovely prayer, and I remembered this bit, that she said, Lord, thank you that we can be here together as a church family to worship together again. Another opportunity. And you know, that to me is quite distinctive. When, rather than the normal prayer of, you know, God bless our service, God bless people, which is absolutely fine, but Claire just articulated this, that thank you for another opportunity to be together in your presence as church family. And it's our witness together that actually convinces us and convinces other people of the reality of God more than anything else, more than a book, more than being told to believe it. We actually get the evidence of it in each other's lives. And so, yep, we believe all those things about the moon, about a heart, not because we know for sure, because we've been there or we've seen the heart, but because we trust in what is told to us by people and sources that we trust. Faith comes with first believing what we're told about God and then proving it by trusting him with our lives. So we have a Bible reading now from John's Gospel, please.
In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. God sent his messenger, a man named John, who came to tell people about the light, so that all should hear the message and believe. He himself was not the light. He came to tell about the light. This was the real light, the light that comes into the world and shines on all people. The Word was in the world, and though God made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him. Some, however, did receive him and believed in him. So he gave him the right to become God's children. They did not become God's children by natural means, that is, by being born as the children of a human father. God himself was their father.
The Word became a human being and full of grace and truth. Lived among us, we saw his glory. The glory which he received as the Father's only Son.
Thank you. That was beautifully read. Thank you so much. Now, as if this morning couldn't get any better, there's no sermon. But instead, I want to tell you a story. And this story is about a family who lived a few miles outside a village, and in this village there was a church and all the usual facilities, small village. But they lived a few miles outside it, and they're a very happy family, mum, dad, three children, and they went to church. But the problem is that though mum and the children went to church, the dad didn't. He didn't anymore. He said, "I'd feel like a hypocrite if I went along church. I don't believe in God. So you know, I'm really happy that you go, and that you have a lovely time. I'm so happy that our children are beginning to feel that they have faith too. But it's not for me. Just not for me." And so every year when Christmas came around, the midnight service of Holy Communion, the wife would say to her husband, "Would you come this year? Just give it a try." And he said, "No, I just can't. I'm sorry, it's just not me. I don't get it. And I just want you to have a wonderful time." This year it had begun to snow in the early evening of Christmas Eve. And so he said, "Well, don't forget, just take the car." And actually the wife said, "The kids really want to walk. You know, it'll take us about three quarters of an hour, but we'll do it. You know, we want to walk." So they set off walking quite early. The service wasn't until 11:30, but they went off quite happily, and the children were kicking the snow. It was starting to get a little bit deep. And the husband settled down by the fire with his pipe and slippers and his newspaper and maybe something else to drink, but it must have been a cup of cocoa or something. And he sat down just by his picture window, and he thought, "It's getting a bit rough out there. It's actually starting to snow more and more heavily." And so he then drew the curtains and thought, "I'm actually quite pleased I'm in the warm. It looks pretty cold out there." But he was thinking about his wife and his children, hoping that they were well wrapped up and going to enjoy the trip down to church and the service and come back really feeling very much in the Christmas spirit. That was what he was thinking. So he didn't really give it any more thought. He occasionally thought about them, but he'd settled into his chair, started reading his paper. And after a while, he realized that he wondered whether the snow had really begun to settle. And it amazed him to see, when he opened the window again, that there was a bit of a blizzard going on, and the snow looked like it was getting really deep. And so he closed the window again, and after a few minutes, he heard just a soft thump against the window. And he thought, "Well, I don't know what that was," and ignored it. And a few seconds later, another gentle thump. And he said, "I can't be the kids throwing snowballs. There aren't any houses for miles around." So he kept on just little gentle thumps, and he wondered what it was. So he decided to go outside and check it out. So he wrapped up well, put his wellies on, and went out and decided to investigate just the other side of the picture window, because when he'd opened the curtains, he couldn't see anything. So he went out and investigated, and there, to his astonishment, in the snow just outside the window, there were a few birds that were just a little bit dazed and confused, but perfectly all right, had seen the light behind the curtain and had then decided to fly towards it. And the rest of the birds were just flying around and not really knowing what to do, because the blizzard had caught them, I almost said on the hop. it caught them by surprise. So they decided that the birds, what do we do? They were caught by the weather. And the man looked out and he thought, I've got to do something for these birds because they'll freeze. If they stay out and they don't know where to go, they're not settling anywhere, they're going to freeze. So he thought, I know what I'll do. We've got a barn. I'm going to go and put the light on in there and just widen the doors so that they can fly in. So he did that. He went in and then he stepped right back out of the way to watch what would happen. And so he stood there. Nothing. They didn't even make a move towards the barn. They didn't seem interested. They stick flying around. Some of them settled in a tree, but that wasn't going to do them any good against the wind and the snow. So he was concerned about what would happen. You know, that's not worked. What do I do? Right. Well, I know. I'm just going to have to drive them in, frighten them in. So he got behind them and started making a big noise and waving a rake about and trying to scare them. But they just scattered into the air. Nothing happened. They didn't go into the barn. They didn't know that this particularly was a place of safety. So they didn't. They didn't make any effort to go into the barn. And he was beginning to despair a little. I can't let them die of cold. So I know what I'll do. I'll go and I've got a lovely loaf of bread. I'll go and make it all into breadcrumbs and lay a big trail of breadcrumbs. And so he decided to do that. And then he laid all of the crumbs out and then retreated to a point in the window upstairs where he could watch and see what happened. Nothing. They clearly weren't hungry because they were worried about being cold, I'm guessing, and not worried, not thinking about food at all. So that didn't work. So he went outside and he thought, I don't know what to do. It didn't work to scare them in. It didn't work to lure them in. It didn't work to lay a trail of breadcrumbs so that they would follow the food in. What do I do? And he thought, if only I can't communicate with them. There's nothing that I can say that will help them understand. So if only I could be like them. If only I could be one of them. If only I could become a bird and somehow communicate and lead the way into the place of safety, then they would get that. And at that moment, he heard the church bells down the road, a couple of miles down the road where his wife and family were, chiming away to midnight. And in that moment, he understood what his wife had been trying to say to him for years, that Jesus came to be one of us, to lead us to a place of safety, to show us that he wanted to feed us, to show us not that he wanted to scare us into believing something, but showing that it was a pure act of love that he came at Christmas to bring everybody in the world into safety. And so it will never do us any good to be scared into believing. It will never do us any good to be bribed or tempted into believing. It won't do us any good to see a place where we might like to be and not know how to get there. What it needs is a saviour. It needs somebody to save us, to intervene for us, to be like us, and to show us the way. Jesus came. Amen. We're going to sing a carol. It seems a bit early in Advent to sing a carol, but I just felt we wanted to proclaim this good news in the same manner that the angels did. So we will sing Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. So we're going to do that, and after that the collection is going to be brought forward. We'll pray for the collection, and I'll pray a benediction upon us all. If you're able, would you please stand? We'll sing together. Okay. Gracious and generous God, we give you thanks for all that we have. Thank you that we have the capacity within us to empathize, to love, to care, and to be generous in the same spirit as you have been generous to us. We pray that you will bless all the gifts, financial and in terms of the toy offering this morning, and bless the givers. May all be used to bring glory to your name, especially at this wonderful time of Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, and until Jesus comes. Amen. Amen.